You may be seated. Please pray with me. God of signs and wonders, we come to your word from the darkness of our souls, seeking understanding and the new life it offers. By the power of the Holy Spirit, illumine our hearts and minds so we may believe this testimony and have life eternal. We pray this in our Savior Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading is found in Romans, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 5 and 13 through 17. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but are something due. But to one who is without works, trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist.
There are moments when sitting in awe and wonder is the greatest blessing we can experience. And I thank the choir for giving us one of those moments just now. It was beautiful. Our second reading today from the New Testament, the Gospel of John, in fact, is a turn from Matthew. We'll be hearing a lot from John this Lenten season. We're going to take up at chapter 3, where Jesus is visited in the night by a certain man named Nicodemus. Listen now for the story from God. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. So, he was a Pharisee, a leader in his community, learned in the teachings of the Torah, a man whom the community looked to for wisdom and guidance. Yet here in this story, Nicodemus does not look wise. No, he seems to be stumbling blindly through the darkness. So, when was the last time you walked outside on a very dark night? Do you remember how it feels? Was it a warm summer evening or a frigid winter night? Did the darkness energize you? Or did you feel a bit anxious? Now, I love walking in the countryside so that I can peer into the depths of night to see the constellations laid out in the firmaments. I feel both a rush of excitement and the adrenaline of fear as I move about. Who knows what lurks beneath my feet or who's hiding around that broken-down schoolhouse around the corner? Yet this is the 21st century of rural America, not ancient Palestine, where bandits roamed around towns that had no electric lights. But it's still a little bit scary. So what was it that Nicodemus was drawn to in the darkness? What was he seeking? Whatever it was, it had to be very, very important to him. After all, he was taking a very bold action, just going to see Jesus about it. As a Pharisee, he was a member of the town's leadership. He was expected to have all the answers, and everyone would ridicule him if he'd been caught questioning a lowly carpenter's son. Worse yet, in John's gospel, this event in chapter 3 is taking place shortly after Jesus' first trip to Jerusalem, which was during Passover, when he virtually destroyed the Jerusalem temple's money exchange tables and sacrificial animal sales booths. Now, that story had certainly swept through the land. And that story had certainly brought shame to Jesus and anyone associated with him. It's easy to wonder if old Nick might have been sent by the other Pharisees. Maybe the Sadducees and priests got together so that they could trick the traveling rabbi and haul the troublemaker off to court. It's possible. But the tone that John sets in his words does not really convey trickery. Nicodemus actually sounds as though he truly wants to know what Jesus thinks. He says, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher from God." But Jesus doesn't reply to that statement. Instead, he turns the conversation. He says, "No one can see God's kingdom without being born from above." It's as if Jesus knew Nicodemus wanted to get a better understanding of God, but was, for some reason, holding back. Now, one of Jesus' words, if you're looking at the Greek text, may have even confused Nicodemus. Depending on the way the word was used, anothen, it could mean born from above, born anew, or born again. Above, anew, again. Nick chose the easiest perspective, born again. And he fell right down a rabbit hole. The idea that a grown man could return to his mother's womb was plain old impossible. And so Jesus launched into some very deep God talk. He says you can't enter God's kingdom without being born of both water and spirit. That's what it is to be born from above. Okay. But if you're like me, you want to know how it works. Jesus is basically saying that people are born as flesh. He even says that. What is born of the flesh is flesh. That's you and me. Yet in order to be received in God's kingdom, people must also have a spiritual birth. And then Jesus goes on to imply that not everyone is given such a gift. He says, the wind blows where it chooses, and you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. He uses the word ruach, a Jewish word, a Hebrew word that means wind, and it also means the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit will touch those whom the Holy Spirit will. All this God talk is deep and a bit complicated. Last week, the evening 5 o'clock class, we were talking about the doctrine of election, whom God has chosen to be saved. John Calvin came up with this idea, and he would have appreciated both today's discussion from Jesus and the discussion last week in class. You see, it does lay out what we believe as Presbyterians. God chooses, elects those whom God will to save. But being saved is another way of saying that someone is being received into God's kingdom. That's all being saved is, being received, as in, have you been saved or have you been born again? And this text makes it sound as though Nicodemus hasn't been born again. I mean, he doesn't stand with Jesus in the temple during Passover and help him destroy things. No, he searches for the traveling rabbi in the dead of night. It's like Nick's interested in learning about God from this man, Jesus, all the while he's trying desperately to not be seen doing so. Oh, he's curious about him, but he's certainly not committed to Jesus. At least not yet. I doubt he was the first one to cautiously approach this teacher. And he definitely wasn't the last. In his Revelation, another writer, John of Patmos, warns the churches of Asia to beware of the Nicolaitans. Nicolaitans, good word. You see, they were willing to publicly worship pagan and Roman gods while secretly claiming Christ, just so that they could fly below the radar and not be tortured for their faith in him. And during the Reformation, similar folks sympathized with Luther and Calvin, but avoided punishment by the institutional church by not publicly identifying themselves as being Reformed, with that capital R. Calvin called them Nicodemites. A colleague of mine calls them spiritual but not Reformed. Makes me wonder if the spiritual but not religious of today could also be Nicodemites. Perhaps. It's interesting that this is the first, but not the only time that we see Nicodemus in John's gospel. He'll come back in chapter 7 to defend Jesus to his peers. He really does. But more surprisingly, we'll see him at the end of John's gospel, at the side of Joseph of Arimathea. We all have trouble with words from time to time. Arimathea, another one of Jesus' secret disciples. And Joseph had asked Pilate to take Jesus' body away for burial. And this time when we see Nicodemus, he will be carrying 100 pounds of precious myrrh with him so that he can anoint the Lord's lifeless body. 100 pounds. That's not just an abundant or extravagant amount. It's an unimaginable amount. How can anything so incredible happen? Now, I suspect that whether or not they'd met before this night of John's Gospel today, Nick had heard about Jesus, and he'd felt curious, like something or someone was nudging him forward. He was curious, but anxious, the way we feel when deciding to go out alone to look at the night sky. So too did Nicodemus go through the darkness to visit this great teacher. Isn't that how so much of life starts? Don't we kind of live in a darkness until something happens? And then we begin to notice light creeping up around the edges of our world. And even though Jesus wonders here if Nicodemus can believe heavenly things, well, I believe those later passages that I just mentioned prove otherwise. It's like this man had been born as a newborn baby whose eyes are opening to the light for the first time. Yeah, he may have been a learned Pharisee, but Jesus' teachings were brand new. And like the first light of dawn, they crept up on him like the first light of life. And if I were Nicodemus, seeing Jesus' light for the first time, I'd be amazed and confused and, yeah, a little doubting of what I was seeing, let alone hearing. Certainly not understanding everything the first time around is how a baby, even a baby of faith, experiences life. Yet over time, as we learn and we grow and we live, that light often, but not always, grows brighter. And even through the darkness, Nicodemus found his way towards Jesus. And over the months that followed, Jesus' light of life became brilliant for Nicodemus. God sent Jesus, my friends, to this dark world, so the entire world, including Nicodemus, including anyone who is new to faith and just beginning to grow in faith, could be spiritually born from above. God sent Jesus so we too could come out of the darkness that surrounds each of us, grow and, yes, bear fruit in his life-giving light. And that's how it is to become a follower of Christ. God knows we are babies in faith who need a lifetime to learn about God's ways. My friends, disciples do not happen in an instant. Well, not usually. Most disciples, like you and like I, are baptized and nurtured and taught and loved into faith in Jesus over months and months and years of time. Yes, as we study Scripture and as we see faith in action in the lives of those who go before us, we will come to know how to become a follower of Jesus. And over time, like Nicodemus, we will stop blindly stumbling around in the dark as much as we do now. And the deeds we do on Jesus' behalf, like those Nicodemus will do, will be seen by God as actions of someone who lives in Jesus' light, his light of compassionate love. For God does love us. God sent God's Son to save us. God sent God's Son to save us all. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you please, as you are able, stand with me to say what you believe, the words of the Apostles' Creed, as printed on page 14 of the hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Holy Catholic Church.
All that we have is a gift from God. In faith and gratitude, let us return a portion of these abundant gifts to our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we dedicate to you not only these gifts, but also your call on our lives. We thank you for your guidance in our baptismal journeys and for blessing us that we might be a blessing to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, my brothers and sisters, we are all babies, toddlers, children in faith. Each of us is learning each and every day through study of Scripture. We started in darkness, just as did Nicodemus, and we're walking deeper and deeper into Christ's brilliant light, the light which gives us life. Oh, my friends, Jesus came for all of us to help us to be born from above, to live and grow. So go out into the world in his name. Proclaim him loudly in all you say and in all you do, so that others may see and hear and learn about him from you. Go knowing that you do not go alone, for just as God sent Jesus to this world to save it, not condemn it, God keeps his Holy Spirit here with us. May the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and that community of the Holy Spirit that draws us together go out with you this day and always. Amen and amen. Good to see you.
Look at this now.
Yeah, babe, we're there.